The splendor of a king, clothed in majesty, let all the earth rejoice, all the earth rejoice. He wraps himself in darkness tries to hide, it trembles at his voice, trembles at his voice.
You sing with me, how great.
The God of three. thank you, Lord. How awesome you are. Your grace sufficient. Your empowering presence causing us to accomplish things that we could not accomplish. You are faithful. Your faithfulness declares to us how great you are. Your unfailing love reaches deep into our hearts, setting us free from every captivity, ridding off of our hearts envy, covetousness, jealousy, foolishness of all types. So, Lord, O God, that we can live lives that truly honor you. We come before you with thanksgiving. And we thank you that daily you're making us more and more like you. We reject any other thought. We reject any other way. We say yes to your word. Let it now be unto us according to your everlasting word, which never fails. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, I'm so glad to have you back here this evening for another special time in the word of the Lord. Praise God. Amen. Well, tonight I'd like to begin by taking us through some passages of Scripture that will help us understand more so what victory looks like. Every problem that is in the world today, every issue, every form of abnormality that's in the world came out of sin. Would you agree with that? So the victory that we are looking at is the victory that deals with the roots of sin, the effect and the impact of sin, so that we can embrace the victory that the Lord Jesus Christ won for us. And if he's won that victory for us, and we're enjoying the benefits of it, then we walk in the freedom that Christ has given to us. Praise the Lord. We must understand that our worship of God is not just coming to the house of God and singing some songs, reading some scriptures, shouting hallelujahs, and then going home and staying the same or worse. But that's the lifestyle of so many. I am just struck with amazement when I see people that say they are believers acting worse than unbelievers. You've heard me say it before, and that may have been your experience also, that some of the meanest people I've met in life, I met in church. Their lives did not change. But when they are in the house, they have a righteous way. Understand, it was religious people that crucified Jesus. Have you seen people that, are out there, they have their ways, they're gangsters, and they're all kinds of people in the world. But the reality is that sometimes you meet some of the people out in the world, and they are kind to each other, they assist each other, they help each other, they share their cigarettes, they share their drinks, they share most everything. But you can be in church and you have a people that say, it's mine, it's mine, it's mine, that's mine. They want to gripe everything and they just live for themselves. They don't understand that the life God has given to them is a life that's meant to be lived out to be a blessing to somebody else. We are supposed to be fruit bearers. And I have not seen fruit eat itself. The reality is that when you pursue after God and His ways, that grace abounds in you and through you. I'm having problems with my mic, it keeps on dropping. God wants to do something extraordinary in your life and in mine. The Word of God says in 1 John chapter 5, 1 John chapter 5, 1 John chapter 5, I'll take it up from verse 1. He says, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ. Remember, Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. John says, whosoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. If you believe that Jesus is the Christ, you are born of God. If you believe that Jesus Christ is the anointed one, the Messiah, he says, you're born again of God. And everyone that loveth him, that begat, everyone that loves him that begat, everyone that loves the one that gave birth, loveth him also that is begotten of him. Now, when we're talking about that which is begotten of him, we're talking of two things. We're talking about the begotten of the Father, who Jesus Christ is, and the begotten of the Father, you are. So in essence, if you love God, then you love that which came out of God. Amen? All right? Let that settle down for a moment. If you love God, you love people. But the love that God showed was the love of servant, for God so loved the world that he gave. He gave his best, his only begotten son. And so verse 2 says, by this we know that we love the children of God. This is how we know that we love the children of God. This is how we know that we love the children of God. This is how we know that we love the children of God. How? When we love God and we keep his commandments. In other words, when we love God and do what God wants us to do, that's how we prove that we love God's children. In other words, we prove that we love God by being examples. Wow. So I'm not just not smoking because it is a sin, and there's no way I can go to the Bible and quote you chapter and verse, thou shalt not smoke. I'm not smoking because that does not reflect the glory of God, of honoring my body, this temple. I'm not a glutton because I'm not a drunk. There's nowhere that I can go to and say, the Bible says, thou shalt not drink. But why don't I drink strong alcohol? Well, because it's going to be confusing for you to determine whether I am speaking by the Holy Spirit or by the spirit of the bottle. So, I don't need that. I choose not to do certain things because of how it's going to affect somebody else. And that's what the Bible is saying to us here. By this we know that we love the children of God. By this we know that we love the children of God. Who are the children of God? Those that have been begotten of God. If you love God, you will love those that He has begotten. And if we know that we love the children of God, if we want to prove that, then we will love God and keep His commandments. Let's go on. Verse 3. For this is the love of God. This is the love of God. I love you, Lord. Oh, hallelujah. I love you. That's just what the love of God is. It says that we keep His commandments. And His commandments are not grievous. They are not burdensome. They are not irksome. They are not overwhelmingly difficult. How is that true? Well, because I give you the ability to live out the life of God. I give you the ability to live out the God life. And verse 4, this is a clincher. For whatsoever is born of God, remember, whatever is born of God, let's go back to verse 1. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ, that's the one that is born of God. Now verse 4. Whosoever and whatsoever is born of God, because he believes that Jesus is the Christ. You get that? You believe that Jesus is the Christ, Jesus is the Messiah, Jesus is the Anointed One, Jesus is the one that came to serve salvation to us, that person overcomes the world. It is the servants of God who obey the instructions of God that ultimately overcome. If you don't have the heart of service, you will not be an overcomer. You will not walk in victory. I can assure you of that. It's just a fact. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Our faith. Even the our is not in the original, it's added for understanding, but in a sense, it throws us off, because what it's saying, this is a victory that overcometh the world, even faith. Even faith. The Word of God tells us that faith works by love. Amen? And let's go just deeper. Watch this now. Who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. So that's the person that overcomes the world. The one that believes that Jesus is the Son of God. God so loved the world that he did what? Gave his only begotten Son. So that he just comes and just acts like, I'm the Son of God? No, he proved it by being of service. And the first miracle that he did was acting in service. They lacked wine, and he served them wine. Praise God. Whatever it is that they lacked, he would have served. And God is calling you and I to that. He's saying, if you're going to be an overcomer, position yourself to be one who is capable of bringing service to people. Because that's what God does. That's what God does. Now, I want to take you past this point and bring you to verse 14 when it comes to the issue of prayer. And James tells us, if anyone is sick, If anyone is going through a case of an affliction or whatever, he says, the elders need to pray. Anoint that one with oil and see their restoration. Now, in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 14, we read these words. He says, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he, God, hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, whatever it is that we ask, that God hears us because we have access to him, we know that we have the petitions that we have desired of him. Whatever it is that you are petitioning for, he says, we know if he heard, he provided it. So, in essence, there is no unanswered prayers. There is always a provision. But we ask this question, God didn't answer every prayer. I prayed about this and God did not answer it. No, the thing is, God answers the you know, right now, I have mail, I'm sure of it, in my mailbox. It was sent, it was delivered, but I don't have it. I have it, but I don't have it. I have it because it's in the mailbox. I don't have it because I didn't go to the mailbox and retrieve it. And until I retrieve it, it's not mine yet. God always answers. The question is, do you know how to collect your mail? In fact, do you know your address? Do you know your mailbox? That's a question. We know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. Watch verse 16. If any man see his brother, oh, wait a minute. We're just talking about prayer and getting what we need. Where did this one come from? If any man see his brother sin a sin which is not unto death, he shall ask, and he shall give him life for them that sin not unto death. There is a sin unto death. I do not say that you should pray for it. Where did that come from? Where did that drop from? He just told us that God will hear our prayers. But he is connecting it to ministering to a brother that is going through an issue. Next verse. All unrighteousness is sin, and there is a sin not unto death. We know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not. Now that is way out there. You mean I'm born of God, I don't sin? I'm not a sinner? That's exactly what he's saying. But he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one toucheth him not. How do you keep yourself and the wicked one not be able to touch you? Jesus, our Lord, said, the wicked one is coming and he has nothing in me. He can't touch me. Why? Because I'm here for you. I'm here for you. When we understand that God calls us to be of service to each other, it changes the whole paradigm of things. That I'm not just standing here to talk to you, to show you how much of the Bible I know. But that the reason I'm sharing the Word of God is so that you can be strengthened. And in the process of strengthening you, I get strengthened. When we grasp and we have an understanding of that, then we don't hide in our back pocket what we know. I don't want them to know what I know, because if they know what I know, then they're going to be like me. Oh, no, 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 no. You share whatever it is that you know, because the more you give away, the more comes into your hands. So many believers don't understand that principle. They don't understand that the more I share the Word of God and make it plain for you, the more I get to know that Word. And in knowing that Word, I go up higher, because now that I've delivered it, I open myself to more and to more and to more and to more. It's not about me, myself, and I, all I can collect. You know it? You serve it. You're there to serve it. You're there to do whatever it is that you can do to make the next person more comfortable. So, if you know, and this seems to be a ridiculous example, if you know that there's paper on the floor, you don't say, that's not my department. You can pick it up, because you know that paper is going to be a distraction to you, and if it's a distraction to you, it's going to be a distraction to somebody else. Get it out of the way. Put it in the garbage. You serve by not creating problems for other people. So, yes, they are city workers, and they're supposed to clean the streets. But before they get there, does that mean that I need to be throwing stuff out of my car, littering the streets? No. By not littering the streets, I'm keeping the street clean, just like the guy who's going to come clean whatever it is that he needs to clean because of whatever it is that happens. The same thing we do. We try to bring clarity. We try to bring the cleansing graces of God into people's lives. That means then that when we are ministering, and we're still talking about victory, and the victory we're talking about here is this, that we are victorious over whatever it is that the enemy will try to bring into play in our lives and in our community as believers. That my life makes it easier for you. Those that are serving in this particular ministry are serving to help us grasp what it is that we need to do. Everything, every service ministry is helping to make life easier for people. You know, there are times during the winter we come here, and of course there's a pile of snow and all of that. And well, thank God that God loves us all. But I don't know who does it. But many a time I come and the pathway is cleared. There's access from this street so that we don't get over the hump. As a church, we make sure that even though it is the city's responsibility to clean the frontage, that we clean it on our own dime. We don't wait for them. Why? Why do we do that? So that when parents come with their children, they don't have to get the children on the street side and endanger themselves and the children. But the children can cross because there's no hump of snow on the other side. That makes sense? It's called serving, thinking ahead. What can we do to help? And God calls us to do the same thing. And he's saying to us right there that that goes into the realm of praying. You see your brother going through something, go help him.
Don't wait until he starts committing sins that are unto death. Get him out of that. Go alongside of him. Pray with him. Help him. Because God answers. But what do many times do believers do? They find a way to condemn. You're such a bad person. Look at you. You're bad. You are evil. You are drinking. You are smoking marijuana. You are doing cocaine. You are this and that. God already knows that. What God wants you to do now is help that brother get out. You don't know how he got in, but you want to get him out of that situation. And the Word of God says, we are overcomers. And the Word of God says that we can pray. And if we're praying according to his will, he hears us and he accepts our petitions. Because the person who is born of God, it says there, sinneth not. Don't see him as a sinner. Don't see her as a sinner. See them as one that God has paid the price for. Let's look at verse 17 again. All unrighteousness is sin, and there is a sin not unto death. But the Word of God tells us that we have been given the gift of righteousness. So what do? I want to see my brother with the eyes of God. How does God see this person? If we look through the eyes of God, then we will do what God calls us to do, which is to be witnesses of him, to represent him. And if God is not looking at men and women as sinners, but that he has paid the price of righteousness for them, then that's what we need to do. We need to reach them, not in the the person knows already how bad they are. Sinner out there knows exactly what he is. You don't need to remind him about that anymore. You just need to give him the solution. And the solution is Jesus Christ. Serve him what he needs. The solution. You don't... It's like this. Somebody's taking poison. And you come there and says, you've taken poison. Do you want some more? No, you bring the antidote. Yeah? It's called loving the person to life. Let's have that as our heartbeat. Let me go two more verses and then I'll take you to the next passage of Scripture. Verse 19. And we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. So what are we going to do? Bring change. 20. And we know that the Son of God is come and had given us an understanding. We have an understanding that we may know him that is true. And we are in him that is true, even in his Son Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. We are in him. And if the whole world is in that place of wickedness, we want to get them from that place of wickedness and bring them into Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Verse 17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, that's in the truth, that person becomes a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. Amen? And watch this. And all things All things that are new are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. That's his service. He's giving it to you, the ministry of reconciliation. Next verse. To wit that God was in Christ, reconciling some of the world. No, all of it. Reconciling the world unto himself. That is the whole world that is in wickedness. We are called to reconcile the whole world unto himself. Not, somebody say not. Not imputing their trespasses unto them. What do they have? What does the average believer say? Oh, my city, it's a very hard city. The people are wicked. They're just outright wicked. They don't want God. God says, by so doing, you are imputing to them a condemnation. I heard a woman of God, very dear woman of God, say a very wise statement. Her name is Marilyn Hickey. She said, when I go to the nations, I go recognizing that they are my friends. I don't have any enemies. And when I go out there, I just tell them, you're my friends. It's so good to meet my friends. He says it disarms them. She's not looking at them as sinners, haters of God. She says, we're one big family. Well, I'm so glad to meet my family. What do you mean we're family? I want to kill you. No, we're family. And it melts the hearts of men because she's not imputing unto them their trespasses and had committed unto us, given to us the word of reconciliation. We have a minister of reconciliation. We've been given the word of reconciliation, and that reconciliation tells people, listen, God is not mad at you. Yes, whatever it is that you've done deserves serious punishment. You should get real serious spanking for what you've done right here, right now. But God loves you, and Papa says I should tell you that he cares about you and you can come home. We need to love people. Yes, there is a place where we warn people and tell them about hell. That is, if they don't accept the love of God, there is a place that is prepared not for them. The Bible says hell was not made for people. It was made for the devil. Well, you don't need to join yourself with the devil, and that guy doesn't care about you. He just wants to kill, steal, and destroy. You can experience the love of God. God loves you. So what does that mean? That means we're in the place of employment. When I see my neighbor, my co-laborer, struggling, and they complain about what's happening in their marriage or with their children or whatever else, that I can come alongside and say, I heard you. I see that you're hurting. Do you mind if I pray with you? Do you know that there is not one person yet, not one person yet, that I've offered to pray for that said, no, I don't need your prayers. I don't care whether the Buddhists, Hindus, whatever, they're all, oh, can you please pray for me? I didn't return the call yet, but today, a dear man, I call him my friend. Is he a Christian? No. He's Hindu. I say, you're my friend. And I go and I shop at his place, and he always says, please pray for me. Please pray for me. And he tells everybody, this is a man of God. Since he comes, once he comes into my store, the place just fills up and I do lots of business. He's my friend. I've not talked to him pre-COVID, but now that COVID is all down, he calls me. I didn't even call him. He calls. Because he knows that I love him. I'm not judging him. His son was very sick, deadly sick. And who does he come to? Will you pray for my son? Well, if I go there and I'm telling him about how he's going to go to hell and everything else, he doesn't feel love. Mm-mm. No, we're supposed to love people, care for people, and share the goodness of God. Amen? This is a victory that we must have. It's a victory to love. Because the activity of sin is death. The Word of God says, he that does not love his brother is a murderer. You're a killer. When we don't share the Word of God and the love of God with people, we don't love them. And God calls us to love. When you love, you give. Hallelujah. Now come with me. So 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. I'm going to take it from, actually let's take it from verse 1. It says, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God. Because many false prophets are gone out into the world. We'll have a better understanding of what that all means. It says, hereby know ye the spirit of God, every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And one of the key things I've been trying to get us to understand is when we're talking about Christ, we're talking about the servant of God. He came to serve, to bring salvation. Amen? That's a dimension that we must embrace. And that Christ-likeness is service. Doing whatever it is God does. Loving God, loving your neighbor as you love yourself. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh, is not of God. And this is the spirit of Antichrist. What does Antichrist mean? Yes, it is the spirit of that which is against Christ. Anti, but anti does not just mean against Christ in terms of contrary to Christ, but a secondary representation, an alternative of the Christ. What does the alternative of the Christ look like? Watch this. This is important. The alternative to the Christ robs you of your true freedom. The alternative of the Christ wants to control your life for his own selfish ends. I'm in charge and you are my subjects. But what does Jesus Christ say? Jesus, our Lord, said, listen, I'm going to introduce you to the Father. The Father loves you just like he loves me. And actually, you are going to have to deal directly with him. You're going to be able to talk with the Father directly because that's what I want to do. God wants to have a one-on-one. Not, okay, you come, tell me what you need, then I go tell Father. Because Father doesn't want to see your face. No, I want you to know God wants to see your face. He wants to hear your voice. It goes on, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world, the Antichrist spirit. I'm going to spend more time on that some other time. Ye of God, watch this now, verse 4. It's very crucial. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them. You've overcome the spirit of the Antichrist and the spirit of the false prophet. What do false prophets do? False prophets want to rip you off. False prophets don't want you to know the truth. False prophets will tell you lies. False prophets will tell you everything is okay when it is not okay. False prophets are liars. Why are they liars? Because they want you to love them even though it's going to cost you everything. They're just in it for themselves. He says, you have overcome them because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Amen? The greater one is in you. They are of the world. Therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. But you are of God, and when you speak, God hears you because you pray according to his will. 1 John 5 and 14. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. He's telling us how to identify God's people. God's people will hear the truth. They will embrace the truth. Now, the truth cuts. If you come and tell me this, and it's the truth, I will hear you. And situations at different times when even my own children will come and tell me the truth about something, and they're right on target. Yes. I see that. Oh, yeah. I need to correct that. Because it's truth. I don't say, hey, don't you dare tell me that. I'm your father. I'm older than you. No. Truth is truth. You embrace it. You receive it. You work with it. The spirit of the Antichrist will not embrace that. Comes bad. And bad, good. We see that spirit in our world today. You listen sometimes to our politicians when they're talking, and you wonder, did somebody check on their brain? Do they still have something in there right now? Can I come check it, knock, see if it's... Well, because it's the spirit of the Antichrist. And they believe their lie. And what are you talking about? They will always blame somebody else for something. They generated a problem. They blame everybody else. They never take ownership to the truth. And say, you know what? I blew it there. The other day, I called my daughter about something. I said, you know what? I'm very sorry. I said something that I shouldn't have said. You don't need to hear what I said. Please forgive me for saying that because I was totally wrong. Because I was talking about somebody else. I was exposing somebody else because I was trying to be defensive about something. Now that's wrong. Pastor or not, it's wrong. And we need to have a check on ourselves. I don't come here and say I've got everything in perfect order. No, that's not me. If I mess up, I don't wait to be caught. I'll tell you, I messed up. This is what I did. Now you say, but that's not edifying. No, it's edifying because I don't want you to make the same mistake I made. Because I want you to grow just as much as I want to grow. But that's making you not, like, I put you up there. No, I don't want to be up there. I want to be up here only as God puts me up there. But when I'm walking, I want to walk just like everybody else, just like Jesus did. Do you remember that Jesus was spending time with Zacchaeus and tax collectors? Was he? Yeah. And he was Zacchaeus. This guy, if you knew how bad that guy was, you won't even spend time with him. No, I have an agenda. I'm going to love him into the kingdom. I'm going to love him into wholeness. I'm going to love him into strength. God calls us to wholeness. This is the demonstration of the love of God. A true prophet of God wants to walk in your moccasins and understand you and how he can best help you be the best that you can be. Amen? Because he has the greater one in him than he that's in the world. I'll end up with the next verse or two. Beloved, let us what? Love one another. For love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. I thought the one that is born of God is the one that believes that Jesus is the Christ. And he's basically saying, yes. Yes. He that believes that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, also believes that God is love. And God's love needs to be shared. Amen? So today, my challenge to every one of us is this. The challenge of God is this. Get rid of all the junk. Get rid of it. Anything that wants to make you not love, get rid of it. You're greater and bigger than that. And victory is yours. When love was not in operation, Cain killed his brother. God wants us to love each other. When we love, we are of God. We are demonstrating the God life. Amen? Bow your heads with me. Heavenly Father, we are thankful for the grace that abounds towards us. It is this grace that causes us, O God, to pursue after you with all of our hearts, with all of our soul, with all of our being. And the demonstration of this grace is in the love that we have one for the other. Today, grant to us that overcoming grace to love, to be a people that see our fellow man with the eyes of love, and cherish them, and want the best for them. And in the process, we become better, greater. We love you, Lord. Let your love that is shed abroad in our hearts be the love that we share with mankind. Let us see men and women that we meet day in, day out with that grace of love. Grant us the boldness to access not only your presence, but to access men and women that we see daily on our streets, in our malls, in our communities. And Lord, O God, that we boldly share with them your overreaching love, that love that causes sins to be covered, for love covereth a multitude of sin. And Lord, O God, that grace will cause us, O God, to just love them into the kingdom, because we are overcomers. We receive the wisdom, the insight, the understanding, all that we need to be your servants and your friends, sons, your prophets, in this last of the last days. Give us this grace. Give us, O God, the grace. We receive the grace to surrender all and to give so generously to your vision and purpose, so that lives are transformed and we are empowered to live victoriously at all times. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Now, at this time, we're going to honor God with our giving. And just trust the God who has loved us with an everlasting love to just share that which we can, so that more lives are transformed, minds renewed, to the glory of the Father. Thank you for giving so generously. Those of you online, we encourage you to do the same. The information is on the screen, I believe, so that you know how to give that which God has graced your life with. You cannot outgive God. And his promise to us, and he's a God who cannot lie, is this, that he will multiply our seed sown. Whatever it is that you give, God will multiply it and bring back a return to you so that you can give even more. I expect grace to give more this new year than I did last year, because God multiplies the seed sown. Amen? Hallelujah. And so many gave better this last year than they did the year before. God gave that promise that you'll be able to do it. In the heat of COVID, we did better than years before. And we can do better this year, because this year, our project is not a large LED screen. Our project is not nice new comfortable chairs. Our project, all of that was about souls. It's going out there and reaching as many people as possible. Raising leaders for his glory. And I do believe that you will be willing to share your pastors when we are not here. After all, you've had us for 2 years straight. And that 2 years was you had services that will last you 5+ years. compact. You've been in church in 2021 and 2020, then you've been in church for 5-6 years. You loaded. Amen? Now you got to share. Praise the Lord. So I expect that you'll be excited about that and that you will help us go. Sometimes just myself, sometimes Mama and I will go. But you will not be neglected at all. Praise God. The Word of God is still going to be pumping straight. And who knows? Sometimes you might have a live shot from wherever it is that we are. So you participate in the service and you see what God is doing in the nations right there on the big screen. I believe God is going to help us do that. Amen? Praise the Lord. So we'll do this together. We'll win souls together. And everybody is going to receive the same crown. Because whether we go or we stay helping those that go, we all share the benefit together. Amen? God bless you. I love you. I celebrate you all. Encourage fellow saints that are not in service. Remind them, COVID is over. You can now come to church. Amen. Hallelujah. Use your phone to gospel, not to gossip. Amen. Encourage each other. Challenge each other. Come on. Let's go to church. I'll see you there. Amen. And some people have become lukewarm. Put the fire in them so that they heat up back. And because that's what the devil really wanted to do. Break your spiritual habit of being in the house of God. And well, we did not allow that to happen in this house. We kept on having services and opening the doors. And when they said, you've got only 25 people, we say, okay, 25 people over here and 25 people over there. Amen. One of the first calls I got from some guy was, are you going to be having services? I said, yes. Oh, there are people who are going to report you and the government is going to come out. I said, really? Let them come. We're going to have services. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We're going to have it live and we're going to have it virtually. Praise God. And during COVID, we've reached more souls than more souls than we have reached through the years. God is going to do greater things now. Amen? Praise God. Get ready for it. Hallelujah. Well, next Sunday, and I'm going to replay those announcements if we need to. I don't think we need to, do we? Next Sunday evening, this announcement is not in the mix of things, but next Sunday evening, we're going to have a family night and an evangelistic night, but a time also of discipleship. And strangely, it's going to come through a movie. And we can do that now. Praise the Lord. And this movie is going to be powerful. I assure you, I'm not going to bring you junk. But videos can tell. Movies are a stream in which God can tell a lot of stories. And what's going to happen that movie night is you're not just going to watch a movie. No. You are going to, after we've watched the movie, I'm going to ask you questions. It's going to be a time of learning. But I want you to begin now to invite your friends, your neighbors, everyone, believers, those that you know that are struggling with their faith. They need to be here. The movie is called a question of faith. And it's a powerful, powerful story. Amen? Very well done. And it's going to be impactful. All right? So that's what I need to share with you. And I'll let those of you that are online know that we really appreciate you. We thank God for you. May the Lord bless you richly. May His grace abound towards you. And we'll see you Wednesday, Friday, Sunday morning, and Sunday evening. We are going to be streaming to you, those of you online, but those that are in-house here will be watching a movie. We're not going to stream that movie. We don't have a license to stream it, but we have a license to be able to view it in-house. So we're going to do it the righteous way. God bless you. Love you. I celebrate the goodness of God in your life. Good night. Bye. I think I saw Brother Bill.